Well, let's bow our heads in prayer again as we turn to God's word. God, again, we are so thankful to have this time together. We are thankful for the knowledge of your presence with us, that God, you have again, not only revealed yourself as the creator of all things, as the Lord, the one true God, but you have chosen to intimately involve yourself in your creation. The sending of your son to live among us, God, the offer, the promise of your Holy Spirit to indwell every person who professes faith in your son. And so we're thankful for the knowledge that God, in this place, in this time, you are certainly with us, but that it doesn't even take us being at church to encounter you. God, you are with us individually as we put our faith in you for salvation. Thank you for this time, God. Thank you for bringing us safely into this new year. And again, we continue to look to you for leading and provision in all things. And we ask your blessing and direction now as we look to your word. And we ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, again, welcome to the new year. It seems oftentimes as we come into January, you hear people talking about taking time to focus on how they want to live in the new year, whether it's making resolutions or not. Everybody is trying to figure out what is going to be life, what life is going to look like for the new year. And so plans are made, steps are taken, and we hope that things will work out the way we want them to. Now, of course, we can't plan for everything because life is full of surprises, right? There's a whole lot that comes at us year by year, day by day, that we just can't anticipate. So right now, only 4 days into 2026, the whole year is full of possibilities and lots of unknowns. If previous years are any indication, the next 12 months will be filled with a lot of the same kind of things we've experienced in years past. There will be hopefully plenty of good things. I'm sure there will be some bad things, and there will be a whole lot of things that fall somewhere between those two extremes. And I gotta say, thank God that our hope does not rest in just the ups and downs that we experience in this life. That our hope is in the Lord himself. Our hope is in God's promises, his perfect plans for our eternal future. Our hope is in the fact that through faith in Jesus Christ, we know that we can receive God's forgiveness, that we can be assured of his presence with us moment by moment, day by day, that we can rest secure in the knowledge that we will be with him forever one day if we have trusted in Christ. And still though, our days on this earth are sometimes a battle, aren't they? Things hit us in all sorts of ways. Beyond just the daily struggles that we run into, we also face a spiritual battle for our eternal souls. Satan and his forces want to do everything they can to keep people from coming to faith in Christ, to hinder those who do already trust in Christ, to try and keep us from living out our faith, from keep us from living for Christ in our daily lives. And it's a fight that primarily takes place on a spiritual plane, let's say. It's something that I think, honestly, we are kind of largely unaware of the spiritual battle taking place around us every single day. Now, as we came to the end of 2025, you'll remember we were making our way through a study in 1 Timothy, and we will conclude that study this year, but as I was preparing for coming into the new year, I decided I wanted to take us on a little bit of a detour before we finish up 1 Timothy. So I'm going to detour us into just a portion of Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus. Ephesus was the church where Timothy was pastoring. And so when we were studying 1 Timothy, Paul was writing to this young pastor as he ministered in that context. But Paul also wrote a letter to the church, and he had a lot of things to say to them, but it's in the final chapter of that letter of Ephesians that Paul talks about the spiritual battle that we face every single day. Again, whether we're aware of it or not, we have this battle that we are involved in. And in that short little passage, Paul talks about God's desire to equip us, to prepare us for that daily battle. And I think the beginning of a year is a great time for us to be reminded that we need to be ready for the fight that we face every day. So before we even open our Bibles, I want to make sure that we realize just how important it is for us to understand what Paul talks about in that final chapter of Ephesians, because in a way, it's like those buildings you go into, you see the glass panel that says, in case of emergency, break glass. And, you know, maybe inside there's a fire extinguisher, or maybe it's break glass to pull the fire alarm or whatever it is. And you see those things, and what is the implication? In case of fire, break glass. Okay, well, if there's no fire, no need to break the glass, right? So this is kind of along those lines. I think sometimes we look at the armor of God and we say, okay, well, in case of fire, break glass. Well, there's a fire going on all around us, whether we realize it or not. It's a battle that is being waged, and Paul's words to us are vitally important for every single one of us. So before we even consider what Paul has to say, I want to talk about why is this even important? Throughout his letter to the Ephesians, Paul describes for us the enormous privilege that we have, the enormous privilege that is offered to us of having a personal relationship with the living God through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. An amazing thing that God would offer us a personal relationship with that, like that. We are encouraged to live lives worthy of God's calling on us. That means that we seek to separate ourselves from sin. We seek to avoid doing the things that we know God says are wrong. We try and avoid doing those things, and instead we try and live according to the example set by our Savior himself, living in perfect obedience to God to the best of our ability. Along with that, as believers in Christ, we're to strive for unity. We're to try and work together to accomplish God's purposes in his church, in this world. We need to reflect the self-giving character of our Savior in our daily interactions with one another. And we need to, as freely as possible, share the gospel message with other people, the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All of this takes a measure of effort, though. Christianity is not a passive religion. You don't kind of pray a prayer and then pull the handle on the spiritual easy chair and just coast into heaven. God wants us to be active in our faith, because the reality is we either live for God or by default we live against him. We either reflect something of God's character or we reflect the character of sin. There's not really a middle ground here. We can't be lazy about our faith and expect that we will passively become more like Christ. We have to consciously work together with God's leading in our lives to become more Christ-like. One author I came across expressed it this way. He said, "You can drift into sin, but not into righteousness." We don't just by default drift into doing the right thing. Here's the deal. There's a fight going on. And contrary to what some might think, we don't live on neutral turf. The battle cry has been sounded. We have been called to arms. We are to be strong and courageous. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to look at God's calling and his equipping so that we might be ready for the spiritual fight that we are actually already in. First, there's the basic training that we are to go through. God doesn't thrust us into the battle unprepared. He wants us to be trained and equipped for the fight, and he seeks to do that through his word. Along with our training and preparedness comes a need to understand something of the tactics that our enemy uses so that we can be ready when those attacks come, and then to understand as well God's battle plan for us as we engage in the fight. From there, there's the matter of being sure that we actually possess and know how to use all of the weaponry, the spiritual weaponry that we've been provided, both defensive and offensive. And then finally, we can't hope to successfully combat our enemy unless we maintain constant communication with our commanding officer. Paul wants us to be ready for the fight. God wants us to be ready for the fight. And to withstand the enemy, we must depend on God's strength. We must use every piece of the armor that he outfits us with. To have the courage to stand in that spiritual battle, we have to know God's word. We have to know it. We have to have our hearts set in the right direction. Our will needs to align with God's will for us. And I think we should also take comfort in the knowledge that the outcome of the battle rests on God's performance, what God does, not on our skill, not on our strength. The battle truly has already been won, but we're still in the fight. All right, so we're going to spend some time in Ephesians for the next few weeks as we enter into 2026 here. So let me invite you to open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Quite a ways back in your Bibles there, maybe, I don't know, 85, 90% of the way back in your Bibles, you get Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians. It's page 1057 if you're using one of the Bibles in the rack there in front of you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. This is Paul's passage. These 10 verses here, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, is Paul's passage on the armor of God. And that's where we're going to spend the next few weeks together. Paul begins this significant part of his letter here by reminding us of our first point, that the Lord is the source of our strength. Grab onto that. The Lord is the source of our strength. Paul clearly understood what Christians were up against. Paul was well engaged in the spiritual battle himself. He knew we needed to be prepared for the fight, but first he longed to encourage and comfort as he addressed the Ephesian Christians here. He reminds us of the Lord's strength. Take a look at verse 10, Ephesians 6:10. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Friends, we need to work at not letting our fears overwhelm us. So often when we face things that stir up fear in us, we feel like we're just going to get mowed down by it. But instead, we need to recognize that we are not the source of the strength that is needed for the battle. That doesn't rest with us. Our strength is in the Lord. We are called to be strong in the Lord. Paul here is making the same appeal he has made at other points in this letter. In fact, if you want to keep a finger here and turn back probably a single page in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3, and take a look with me there for just a moment what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be," here it is, "strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That fits really well with what Paul is saying in our passage in Ephesians 6:10. We're literally commanded to be made strong in the Lord. What Paul says here is that believers don't empower themselves. Becoming strong in the sense that Paul is talking about, being strong in the Lord, that is something that is done to Christians. It's not something that Christians do to themselves. We are to be made strong in the Lord. The strength for the battle comes from an external source. Our strength for the spiritual battle that every one of us faces every day of our lives, again, whether we realize it's going on or not, our strength for that battle is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is the one who wants to be our strength. He is the person with whom we are united by faith. All that we are, all that we are to be, all that we are to do, we're to do that in the strength of the Lord. Paul is very clear about that, about the source of our strength. And I think the fact that he's so clear about that should serve as a gentle warning to us. The warning is, we're not supposed to attempt this battle in our own strength, because we're ill-equipped for it. We don't have the strength to fight this spiritual battle on our own. We're not equipped. We're not strong enough for it. Instead, we are to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. That's how we can succeed in the daily battle. And that brings us to the second half of what Paul calls us to in verse 10. When he speaks of the strength of God's might on that second half of verse 10, what he's talking about is the greatness of God's power. And friends, that is something that is truly beyond our comprehension. God is stronger than we can possibly imagine. And yet, that power, that strength is available to us. That is where we are to draw our strength from, for this daily spiritual battle we face. And I think we can tap into God's power in a couple of different ways. First, we tap into God's power through faith, of course. We must believe. We must have it settled in our minds that the Lord is almighty in power. Not just that he is powerful, but that he is all-powerful, that he is omnipotent, all-powerful, able to do anything and everything that he purposes in himself to do, knowing that there is nothing and no one that can in any way slow him down or impede him in the least. Believing that by faith, that is foundational, that God is powerful. But secondly, we have to believe that the power of this almighty God, that power is available to us for our defense. And this is one of the places in Scripture that we're told that is absolutely true. God is the one who always keeps his word. He expects us to meet every trial and every temptation leaning on him for strength, because that's what he called us to do. God is trustworthy. We can depend on him to make his power available to us, to allow his power to be what makes us strong for the battle. We see the trustworthiness of God throughout Scripture. We see it in our own lives and experiences oftentimes. I know many of you could probably speak to times that were difficulties that you were facing, and God is the one who brought you through it, that God gave you the strength to endure or to do what needed doing. God will always do what he promises to do. And if we are called to be made strong in him, then we can depend on him to give us that strength, because he calls us to. We can be sure of receiving God's power and being made strong in him. It's not something actually that we have to ask for. It's something that is given by God to every person who puts their faith in Christ for forgiveness and salvation. It's just a command that we look to him to find that strength for ourselves. If you've trusted Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you are God's child. And you think about it, in the same way that probably any mother or father would expend every ounce of their strength in defense of their child, how much more so does our Heavenly Father do that same thing? Willing to bring his entire almighty strength to bear on the problems that are facing his children. Why? Because he loves us so much. So much that he sent his son to pay the price for our sins by dying in our place. And I gotta say, something which is so hard won, something which was so costly to achieve, is not easily given up. God spent his son's blood to purchase you. God will spend his own power to keep you. No one can snatch us out of our Heavenly Father's hand. So we are to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And I think there are plenty of occasions in our day-to-day lives where we need to seek the help of God's power. For instance, those times when we are weighed down by our own sin. I know every one of us, Scripture is very clear, we are all sinners, we all fall short of God's standard of perfection. Every one of us continues to struggle against that sin nature every day for the rest of our lives. And by God's grace, and as we rely on his power, hopefully it's an upward trend where we're doing better than we are worse, and we keep learning and we keep growing. But that sin nature is always there knocking at the door and tempting us to do, say, or think the wrong thing. We need to seek God's power as we find ourselves weighed down by our sin. And the thing that we need to remember in those moments is that there is no sin that is so powerful or so big that it can overwhelm God's strength and his ability to forgive us. God is stronger than that. God can forgive. And especially as we come to him in humility with confession and repentance, God is eager to forgive our sin. God shows us his almighty mercy, and we would do well to remember, I think, especially when we feel that accusation coming from Satan and his forces, we need to remember that it is God alone who is the one who justifies us and has promised to restore our lives, save us, and cleanse us from all sin, and bring us into his presence one day if we submit to him by faith. We can also tap the Lord's strength and might when we are overpowered by temptation, not just weighed down by the knowledge of our sin, but when we are being tempted and we're feeling overwhelmed by that temptation. The same Apostle Paul who wrote Ephesians wrote the letter to the Romans, and in Romans 6:14 he says that sin shall not be master over us. The reality is we can be pretty weak in ourselves, in all honesty. But our strength lies in the fact that God is mighty. God is the one who is strong. He is almighty, and that he wants to use his almighty power to be the source of our strength as we struggle against those temptations. Another opportunity to draw on God's strength is when we feel overwhelmed, maybe by something he's called us to do. Sometimes God calls you to do something, and you say, I don't know if I can do that, God. I can't do what you're asking me to do. But here's something we need to remember again, that when God calls us to do something, that calling comes with his equipping. Whatever God calls you to do, God will equip you to do. And maybe that's the point. Maybe it's, God, I can't do that. And maybe that's where God says, I know you can't. That's the point. I'm going to give you what you need to be able to do this. I'm the one working in you and through you. We don't need to flinch in the face of any task that God lays before us, because if he calls us to do it, he will give us the strength for the task. So there again, that means that we don't need to fear when God lays something before us. We don't need to be afraid about talking about our faith with other people as God provides that opportunity and gives us that spiritual nudge to, hey, tell them something about that church you go to, or tell them something about that Bible verse that you were reading today, or your Bible study that you've attended. Talk to them about that. We don't need to be afraid of that. We don't need to be afraid of serving God with the gifts that he's given us. We don't need to be afraid of praying with other people or praying for other people or anything else. Because if God has called you to do it, God will give you the strength to do it. God is our strength. Even so, there's still times where we may feel like God's power is hidden from us. That somehow we're just not feeling that strength of the Lord. And there could be reasons why God's power doesn't seem available to us as we expect. First, maybe we just overlook it from time to time. We just don't realize it's there. We have expectations that God will operate in a certain way, but he doesn't always do what we think he should do. For instance, maybe you prayed long and hard for relief from a particular struggle, whatever it was, and instead God gave you the strength to pray all the more intently. Well, I didn't want to pray harder. I wanted you to just fix it. Yeah, but I gave you the strength to pray. Other times God's power may seem hidden because he has delayed it. You know, God's answers to our prayers are yes, no, and wait. Wait's probably the hardest one for us. God doesn't always answer the way we think he should. He doesn't always answer when we think he should. Sometimes he delays his answer. And I think sometimes that's certainly with a purpose. Maybe God is teaching us something about perseverance or trust or patience. You know, a third reason we may not see God's power at work in us is that we could actually be hindering it in some way. We need to be sure that in our hearts we are trusting God completely, that we are seeking to obey him fully, that as we become aware of areas of disobedience in our lives, areas of sin in our lives, that we are quick to confess that to the Lord and repent and ask again for his forgiveness in that area. And so questions to ask ourselves when we feel like, God, I don't feel your strength, your power to be able to face this. Maybe some good questions to ask ourselves are, am I really trusting him right now? Am I trusting in him alone to meet my needs? Or am I only trusting him for the stuff that I feel like I can't take care of myself? Am I thankful for the strength that I do have, the strength that he has given me? Am I saying, thank you, God, for how far you've gotten me in this? Has somehow, maybe perhaps, has my pride prevented me from calling out to God for strength or actually availing myself of the strength that he offers? Because no, like you know, the three-year-old, I do it myself, right? We need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And Paul goes on to issue one more command related to our basic training for the battle that we are in. He says that the Christian must be armed. Speaking in a spiritual sense here, of course, but that is our second point. The Christian must be armed. In verse 11, Paul tells us how we are to be made strong in the Lord, and he tells us why we are to be made strong in the Lord. And the fact is, we are made strong in the Lord by wearing his armor. Look at verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. God has completely outfitted us for the fight. Paul will go on in the coming verses to detail some of the elements of the armor with which God equips us. But for now, he wants us to understand this is the full armor of God. The whole set, everything that's needed. The armor of God is supplied by God. It is the armor given by God. The armor of God is his own. It is God's own armor. It is given to us for our protection. And the armor of God is the armor which is, at some level, it is God himself. God is the one who armors us. When we don elements of Christ-likeness, when we strive to live according to the example that we see set by our Savior in Scripture, we strive for truth and righteousness and love, when we're putting on that new self created to be like Christ in true righteousness and holiness, that is a part of the armor of God as well. All of that concerns our identity. Our identity as children of God, as Christians. Our identity is to be shaped by those sorts of things: truth, righteousness, readiness, faith, salvation, the gospel message. That's what we're to be armored up with for the daily spiritual battle. Because friends, without God's armor, we are in mortal danger. Eternally mortal danger. Because apart from Christ, we are completely unprepared and unarmed. We are ill-equipped for the spiritual battle. And there are severe consequences for trying to go into the fight without our armor on. Apart from Christ, we are ineffective. We can't hope to do anything to remedy our fallen condition in and of ourselves. We can't fix it. Sinners are only saved by Christ. We need to have our armor on. Always. First and foremost, we need to follow God's command through Paul here. Put it on. Put on the armor of God. Our armor is perfect. It is designed especially for this spiritual battle that we are in, but it only works if we have it on. You know, you think of police officers when they come in to report for their shift and they head into the locker room and they grab all the stuff for their uniform and their duty belt and all that stuff. They put on that bulletproof vest. Because guess what? Not going to do them any good if it's hanging in their locker when they're out in the field. Put on the armor of God. We need to put it on. And secondly, we need to keep it on. The armor of God, this Christian armor, is made to be worn. The idea is you don't take it off until the fight is over. We need to keep it on constantly because we can't hope to survive the battle if we take our armor off. Furthermore, I think the armor should be visible. And in saying that, especially as we go into the following verses where Paul talks about things that you would see on a Roman soldier, I'm not saying go out to the local costume shop and buy a bunch of Roman stuff and, you know, go walking around with that all day. That's not the point. The idea is that our armor should be visible. This spiritual armor should be visible, not physically to the eye, but in terms of how we live. If our armor is made visible by the things we do, then people should be able to tell whether or not you're wearing it. People should notice your faith. They should notice that you are a loving person, that you are surprisingly quick to offer forgiveness to other people, that you seem to try and be conscious of steering clear of some of those things you ought not to be doing. That's your armor becoming visible. With verse 11, Paul also gives us the reason we should be made strong in the Lord by putting on the full armor of God. Look at it again. Verse 11, he says, put on the full armor of God. Here's the reason. So that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We've been given this armor so that we would be able to stand firm. That's a military term. It means to resist the enemy. It means to hold your position and never offer surrender. Make sure that you hold your ground. Standing firm involves resisting or holding our position, Paul says, against the schemes of the devil. You know what we need to understand about the devil's schemes? He doesn't fight fair. Low blows, you know, thing. He is scheming to undo us. He uses subtle tricks, anything he can think of to defeat us or undo us. Satan is looking to gain a foothold in every single person's life, just a little bit of ground through anything he can find, whether it's uncontrolled outbursts of anger, maybe it's lying, maybe it's stealing, maybe it's unwholesome talk, maybe it's impure thoughts, whatever. Any way that he can just chip away at that armor and just get a little opening, a little foothold. Anything characterized by the way we used to live before coming to faith in Christ. Friends, we're not to live that way anymore. We must not allow the devil to catch us unaware. We need to be ready for his attack, because I guarantee you it will come, and it will keep coming. Here's what all this boils down to. We need to be strong, alert, and ready to stand our ground in the fight that we are in. Let me say it again. We need to be strong, alert, and ready to stand our ground in the fight that we are in. Again, God is eager and willing to provide us with strength for the battle, but it's not necessarily automatic. It comes as we seek a closer relationship with Christ. The command to be strong in the Lord assumes that we need his strength. And I'm sure we don't have to look far into our lives to agree that we need it, because we face all kinds of difficulties and challenges and temptations where we say, I don't think I can do this on my own. We need to be alert. We need to be ready for the fight. One of the things we probably need most in our Christian lives is a sense of urgency. We can get awfully comfortable sometimes, but we need a sense of urgency. We need an awareness of the spiritual conflict around us and a sense of our own peril if we don't take up and put on the armor of God. We need the ability to be strong and ready, and that depends on an awareness not only of this world, but of the heaven realities that are taking place all around us. There's a spiritual battle going on all around us, and we need to be ready for the fight. Our basic training involves being made strong in the Lord, putting on his full armor so that we will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We need to be strong, alert, and ready to stand our ground in the fight that we are in. Most of you here probably remember the events of September 11th, 2001, the terrorist attacks that took place in the United States here. And if you remember those, you probably know that we really didn't see it coming. Found ourselves in a fight that we didn't even realize we were really in when it showed up on our soil. And I think that same sort of thing is true for each one of us individually, every day of our lives. All people everywhere are in a fight for their lives between the forces of good and evil, a fight which will result in either eternal death or eternal life. And regrettably, so many people don't even realize that there's a fight going on at all. Friends, we need to be strong and alert and ready to stand our ground in the fight that we're in. Let's pray for God's strength that we might do that. God, we need your strength. And I thank you that what we find here is that you offer that. You want us to find our strength in you, to be made strong in the strength of your might, your mighty strength, the almighty, all-powerful God. Thank you, God, for wanting to equip us in order that we might be able to stand firm in this spiritual battle. Help us not to be ignorant of the struggle that is going on that has such eternal consequences. Help us not to be ignorant of our part, our participation in that it's not just going on around us, it's going on in us, and it has everything to do with us. So Lord, I thank you that you want us to be equipped for it, that you want us to be prepared, and that you are the one who gives us what we need. That in you we can be strong and alert and ready to stand our ground in the fight that we are in. So we thank you for that, God. We need that. And we pray that you would continue to equip us moment by moment, day by day, to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.